time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sayre, America. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope, man, it's just beautiful out there. Get out there and get some work done today, guys, and enjoy the beautiful weather with no wind. It's a rarity, but it's happening today. 70 degrees at Harmon or Hollis in Harmon County. 73 at Eric, 75 at Arnett, 74 at Camargo, 67 at Lahoma, 71 at the May Ranch up there along the Kansas-Oklahoma state line, 72 at Beaver. They got their sale going on right now. I don't know what happened to the secret weapons mezzanine site, but it's not showing no, maybe he's secretly working on it. I don't know. It's not showing up. And out here in the panhandle of Texas, 75 at Dozer, 71 at Odell, Childress is 73, and 74 at Lipscomb. Okay, anything exciting happening in the ag world today? I don't know, but we'll try to figure it all out. I did want to discuss this with you. I know we have some BLM land up here in Roger Mills County, and I don't know. I've never heard anybody having any disputes up there, but I got this deal from Texas A&M AgriLife Extension on their law deal, and the court rules in a corner crossing trespassing case. So this happened up north here. I think it was in Wyoming. Is she here? Well, we'll just get through it. So what I mean by that is when you got everything's in square sections, 640 acre sections, and you have a section here is public, and to the right of it is private, and then right below that public land is private, and then to the right of that is is private, and then it's public. So it's a checkerboard deal. Of course, you got landowners where you have to maybe cross to get to public land from another piece of public land. Well, I guess some guys up in Wyoming, some private landowners, they had enough of that, and so they took it to the court. So the United States Court of Appeals for the 10th Circuit issued an important ruling in the Iron Bar Holdings, which is the ranch, versus some hunters from Missouri, on corner crossing on checkered board land in the West. This important decision impacts landowners and the public alike. Across the Western United States, there are millions of acres platted into squares that alternate in ownership, with one square being private, the next public, and on that resembles a checkerboard. For 150 years, a conflict has been brewing over property line access to public lands in the checkered board areas. The court framed the question as following: can a private landowner prevent a person from stepping across an adjoining corner of federal public land? In other words, does a person on public land commit trespass on the adjacent private land where he or she corner crosses in this matter? This is pretty interesting. I enjoyed reading this. Iron Bar Holdings, LLC, owns a checkered board ranch in Wyoming spanning 50 square miles. Their holdings include privately owned land, federal public lands, and state-owned public lands. There are 27 publicly owned parcels, including 11,000 acres in this 50 square miles. The only way to access the land, state and federal land, other than by aircraft, is by corner crossing between Iron Bar's private holdings. Iron Bar, seeking to prevent corner crossing, posted two no trespassing signposts connected by chains over the USGS survey marker denoting the corners of several of its sections of land. The BLM authorizes elk hunting by the public on federal lands in this part of Wyoming. The defendants are elk hunters from Missouri who traveled to Wyoming to hunt elk in 2020. They intended to access the various squares of public land by corner crossing over Iron Bar's property. The hunters used a GPS mapping tool to ascertain land ownership. Using this tool, they were able to corner cross, stepping directly from one piece of the public land to the next. They swung themselves around the no trespassing signpost to cross Iron Bar's corner without touching Iron Bar's land. They never made contact with the surface of Iron Bar's land, although they did momentarily occupy its airspace. This is getting down to the, it's pretty crazy what this court case was. When making their corner crossing for several days, the defendants hunted on public land, sections 24, 26, 30, and 36 on the map. The hunters returned in 2021, this time bringing a steel A-frame ladder to corner cross without even touching Iron Bar's signpost. Iron Bar employees confronted the hunters in 2020 and 2021. Employees interfered with hunting activities by driving vehicles across public parcels to scare the elk away. Employees called the sheriff and the Wyoming Game and Fish Department. Both refused to take action. So there was some litigation in the deal. Try to shorten this up a little bit. In 2021, Iron Bar's ranch manager called the local prosecutor's office and said the prosecutor agreed to charge the hunters with criminal trespass. The hunters took the case to jury and were acquitted for criminal trespass charge. The same day the jury found the hunters in the criminal case, Iron Bar served the hunters with a lawsuit for civil trespassing, claiming $9 million in damage. The trial court granted the hunters motions from a summary judgment, ruling corner crossing did not constitute unlawful trespass. Iron Bar appealed and lost again. To me, there's a whole lot more to these stories than probably what's written up here, but it sounds like Iron Bar's owned by some people out of California or Oregon or Washington. And you know, it's like down here on the rivers, all of our rivers, the water, as long as you stay in the water and your boat and your feet never touch the ground, you're not trespassing on rivers that are navigable. And so, but if you have a kayak down there and you put your foot down on that soil, you're officially trespassing. That's written in the law. I've wrote it. I'm not a lawyer. And I wrote it. I read it, but there's a, but it's very clear in there that, you know, as long as you stay in the water, you're good. As long as you're not tearing up the landowner's water gaps and all that other stuff and littering, you know, it's one of those deals. But this here just seems like the ranch manager and the employees had big egos and didn't like people stepping, you know, you're right there at the corner. You could jump across from when you're checkerboard like that. But so here's what happens next. The Iron Bar could decide to appeal the case to the United States Supreme Court. Interestingly, the Tenth Circuit did note that its decision may leave open questions for landowners and the public alike with regard to the checkerboard. These include issues of who may be liable during a corner crossing incident and what duty of care each party owes to the other. So, I don't know. That's pretty crazy. Because I'm sure there's some checkerboard BML land up here on Black Kettle grasslands, but I don't know. And then you got all these people that come out here and hunt turkey season, deer season, quail season, and I don't know of anybody that has ran into that problem. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but this is kind of the same thing. If you can jump across a corner from public to public, there's not a lot that the private landowner can actually do about it. So we'll see what happens with that deal. What a day is Stockman's Vet Clinic happy hour. We're going to go ahead and take one of those happy hour breaks, and we'll be right back after this.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
The biggest mistake I've seen when people are purchasing insurance or coming in to visit with us is being underinsured. You know, the state minimum on auto insurance is $25,000, $50,000, and that's too low. I mean, if you run into somebody's new vehicle and it costs $50,000 and you only have $25,000 in coverage, that's going to come out of your pocket. So, you know, we try to make sure that our customers are insured how they need to be to get the coverage. I mean, if you're going to have insurance, you need to have it for the right reasons, and that's to protect themselves. I mean, that's why they have it. I'm really in the business of protecting the customer. When it comes to protection, it's not a large amount more to go ahead and get the coverage you need.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. High Pro Feeds has built their reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. Their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. High Pro is a name you know and trust. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your trusted High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at hobartfarmandgarden.com.
My mom used to take me to the local dairy when I was a little girl, and I always was interested in learning where my food came from. I didn't grow up on a farm. I'm from the city, but please don't hold that against me. We owned a farm in Colorado and again here in western Oklahoma. My name's Becky Brown, and my husband's name's Tony Tummins, and together we own BT Butchers, a mobile meat processor. We bring our trailers to you. Your place or our place processed your way. Please find us at B as in Becky, T as in Tony, butchers.com. That's btbutchers.com. We would love to help you feed your family. The short wait list and 2-day turnaround means we move pretty fast, and since we come to you, it really is convenient. Not bad for a girl from the city. We would love to help you feed your family.
A bolt breaks on a spring tooth, a harrow, or a chisel. Your work in the field stops. Most people have two choices. Either use baling wire as a temporary fix, or drive 15 miles into town. There's a third option that'll get you back to work in only a few minutes. We'll bring a bolt bin to your place, and we'll keep it stocked for you. Camrock Supply. It's on South Main in Elk City next to Fred's Steakhouse. The website is camrocksupply.com. Staying supplied keeps you in the field, getting your work done.
Are you looking for a new metal building that's built to last? Cyclone Metal Buildings by Culverstone brings you top-tier craftsmanship and second-to-none quality with attention to detail. From luxury custom barn dominiums to shops or barns and commercial buildings, our buildings don't just look good, they're built to last with all custom weld-up, I-beam, and C-purlin construction. From design to completion, we do it right. That's Cyclone Metal Buildings by Culverstone.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, Brandon must be at the ranch or on the phone. Maybe he'll call me back here so we can get a report from Elk City and Western Oklahoma Livestock Auctions today. Miami, Texas. 75 degrees, humidity is 23, dew point's 35. The winds are out of the north at 14 with wind gust up to 18 currently right now. 31/100ths of an inch so far. Month-to-date precipitation, red flag minutes, 0. Sub-freezing minutes, 0. 8-inch soil temperature, 53 degrees. All right, let's check out the Lipscomb's dealership's grain market update real quick. And when I looked at it 30 minutes ago, the whole board did not look good to me as far as my professional opinion. For what that's worth, let's check it out. Corn for May, 458, down 6 1/4. July, 465, down 6 3/4. Soybeans for May, 999, down 8. July, 1013, down 6 1/2. Soybean meal, May 294.80, down 280. July 302.60, down 230. Soybean oil, 42.18, up 3. Hard red winter wheat, May 567, down 10 and a quarter. July 583, down 9.5. Cotton for July, 66.68, down 35. Only thing I see positive on this whole board is sugar. And that's May is at 1955, up 29. The reason why I mention that is I seen old Sugar Daddy this morning from Delhi. And I know the sugar's up a little bit today, but I think he told me he had to have 20 cents a pound to break even on sugar. So he's not doing very good right now. West Texas Intermediate crude oil, May 68.89, down 22. Natural gas is 3.85 for April, down 5. The NASDAQ and S&P and the Dow are all in the positive mode right now. Live cattle for April, 205.72, down 17. June, 201.70, down 45. Feeders for March, 286.82, up 22. April, 283.72. down 152, and May is 283.05, down 180. Lean hogs, April 86.40, up 70, and May is 89.02, up 47. Let's check out some numbers from the auction barns last week. Start out with Oklahoma. This week, 32,828 head were sold compared to 29,684 the week before. 21,725 head were sold a year ago last week. Compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers sold $2 to as much as $10 higher. Demand was good. March winds continue to blow and more fire weather warnings are posted this week for across the state. So far, no meaningfully rains in the forecast. Supply included 94% feeder cattle, 2% replacement cattle, and where's the rest of it? Well, I guess that's it. Cow-calf pairs. Of the cattle sold in Oklahoma last week, 73% were over 600 pounds. And that's about it. Let's see here. Let's check out. I want to see what heifer or cows. Let me scroll down here where I can get down here to, there we go. Slaughter cattle, breaker cows were quite a few sold in Oklahoma last week. The high end was 150.78 per hundred weight, and the low end was 134.52 on the breakers. Boners were high end was 144.88, low end was 131.92, and on the lean cows, quite a few of those, looks like almost 250 head were sold. High was 137.22, low was 118.92, average was 132.72. On the bulls, the big boys averaging anywhere from 16.17 to 18.38 were bringing. The high end was 181.21 and the low end was 151.57. That was Oklahoma. Now let's check out Texas. 6,055 head were sold last week. Week before, 7,888. And then last year, 6,773. Compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers were mostly as much as $10 higher. Also in Texas, demand was good. Loads of yearling coming off of wheat in many of the auctions. Extreme winds across the panhandle last Friday and continued into Tuesday. Winds range from 30 to 60 miles an hour, sustained winds, and gusts up to 80 miles an hour. Supply included 88% feeder cattle, 8% slaughter cattle, and 4% replacement cattle. And there you go. And of those replacement cattle, it says here 4% were stock cows, 70% were bred cows, 5% were bred heifers, and 20% was cow-calf pairs, and 1% was bulls. 76% of the feeder cattle supply in Texas that was sold at the auction last week, 76% of them over 600 pounds. So there you have it. News breaking out of Harmon County, according to the the Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association. Mark Dennis, a Hollis, Oklahoma man, was arrested March the 12th at his residence on felony charges of larceny of livestock following an investigation by the Texas and Southwestern Oklahoma Cattle Raisers Association Special Ranger Chris Ward and Harmon County Sheriff Steve Cornett. He is set to be formally charged with four counts of larceny of a domestic animal. According to authorities, Dennis unlawfully took possession of four Red Angus cows aged 3 to 5 years old from a property in Harmon County between March the 9th and the 10th. Dennis attempted to sell two of the cows and conceal the remaining livestock. Sheriff Cornett successfully located and recovered the hidden cattle. All stolen livestock have been returned to their rightful owner. Texas and Southwestern Cattle Associations would like to thank Sheriff Cornett and the Harmon County District Attorney's Office for their efforts into recovering the stolen cattle and advancing for the case for prosecution. That's coming out of Harmon County. Guys, I said it yesterday. There's a lot more. This is making a lot more of the news. Stolen cattle or misrepresenting something or all kind of crazy things going on. And with cattle as high as they are, I don't think it's going to go away. So all I can tell you is be careful what you're doing with your cattle. Make sure they're, I mean, ear tags, they can take ear tags out. But, you know, I'm sure some of these cattle thieves just don't even think about that unless they're a professional. Brand your cattle and member up with, like, these associations like these Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association, Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, Farm Bureau even has these rewards out. Somebody will always have your back. And I know there's been a few cases over the past 4 or 5 years that the so-called cattle rustler has got away with it and they can't prosecute it. For some reason or another, I don't know whether it's the DA or just the evidence or whatever, but I'd rather take a chance on that versus just not doing nothing about it. So that's cattle are high. Better protect your deal. They're a liability in your pasture right now. That's the bottom line. Stockman's Vet Clinic, as most springtime calving is winding down, it's time to prepare for breeding season. We're here to help with your AI project needs and supplies. Matter of fact, I have some heifers in there right now. They pulled cedars on them, yesterday? So here in a couple days, get some AI going on. Also, bull turnout is approaching. Please don't neglect to schedule your herd bulls for a complete breeding soundness exam. It's the cheapest and most effective way to help ensure your next calf crop. Spring is also a great time to treat our cows and calves for all internal and external parasites as well. We are seeing ticks and lice already affecting some herds. I was looking at those cows out here West Elk yesterday. I think they lost half of their hair already. So, yeah, the lice are here. With the great cattle prices, let's visit, make sure we're vaccinating our calves to help them maximize their health and value. We are here to help with all your livestock, horse, and pet needs whenever you need us. Stop by Stockman's anytime at 1019 South Main Street in Elk City or call 580-225-0200 to schedule an appointment for after-hours emergency service or for after-hours emergency service. How's that? All right, let's take a Stockman's Vet break, and we'll be right back after this.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Kent Watkins here with SEI Agritech in Elk City. It's time to gear up for corn planting season. Our Golden Harvest brand corn seed is now available, so call today and get your order in. Don't miss out on the best yields at the lowest possible price. Also, if you're needing bigger amounts of ag chemicals, we can ship it to you straight from the warehouse. And remember, you can't beat our prices. That's SEI Agritech, your partner in productivity. Visit us today on South Randall in Elk City. Follow us on Facebook or give us a call.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, March 24th. 1,182 head were sold. 12 head of steers at 450 brought 392.50. 13 at 528 brought 360. 11 at 593 brought 335. 66 at 764 brought 291.50. 5 at 821 brought 282. 19 at 942 brought 258.50. 11 at 1,025 brought 259. 4 head of heifers at 420 brought 395. 10 at 558. Brought 330, 11 at 719 brought 274, 3 at 807 brought 253, 5 at 881 brought 248, butcher cows were 98 to 153, butcher bulls brought 125 to 190, bred cows were 1600 to 2875, pairs brought 2150 to 3150, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m., consign call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC. Save 30 to 40% on Firestone Ag Tires through May 31st. Firestone Ag Tires are 30 to 40% off through May 31. Blair Tire and Feed is helping you get ready for planting season by helping you save money. Here's what you need to know right now. You can save 30 to 40% on Firestone Ag Tires at Blair Tire and Feed until the last day of May. Right now, get the tires you need for planting season and save money. For contact information, Google Blair Tire and Feed, or just drive to Blair and get your tires.
Get ready for an upcoming land auction on Thursday, April 10th at 10 a.m. United Country Buford Resources Real Estate and Auction, in partnership with Russ Real Estate and Land Sales, are offering two prime Oklahoma properties at auction. 360 acres in Greer County with exceptional hunting and grazing land, and a 160-acre productive stock farm in Kiowa County. This is premium Oklahoma land you won't want to miss. Location is Western Technology Center in Hobart. For details and terms, visit BufordResources.com or 405-833-9499. That's Thursday, April 10th at 10 a.m.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, I got Brandon on the phone. Heck yeah. Well, first, let's check out some ag weather from northwestern Oklahoma. Slap out, 73, dew points 35, humidity's 25. The winds are out of the east northeast at 10 miles an hour. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 55 degrees. Sunset at 7:56. Sunny, no wind, or not much wind today, and 78. Tonight, partly cloudy, 46. Winds will be switching from the north, be coming out of the south later on. Tomorrow looks like another beautiful day, mostly sunny and 77 degrees. Well, on the phone with me now is the world famous Brandon Hickey.
Good afternoon, Jimmy.
You just don't like that, do you?
I just keep thinking it's a small world if I'm world famous.
Hey, I've never asked you this question publicly, but are you a believer in Bigfoot?
You're not
going to be any fun today. So, because Sasquatch believers, true believers, they have fun with life. Okay. And so, So I'm just passing that along with you. If you ever get any spare moments, just because I know you can get up there on the Warstall or the South Canadian River and look for signs for them. So you just whatever. You had some pretty good auctions.
Yes. Numbers a little bit shorter, kind of slowing down. The wheat pasture runs kind of slowing up on us a little bit. We got most of those cattle through the pipeline and on to the other more cow calves more cows and calves showing up at Elk City and Les Yearlands at Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. But the market was just phenomenal. Both places, just golly, just unbelievable. Just on fire. You know, the Friday that board was down $4 in front of the cattle on feed report, and you'd have thought it was up $4 of the aggressiveness of wanting to get them. Get some calves and get some cattle bought Friday, and then it carried over today to yesterday. Again higher than we were the week before. You know, just getting up there to those levels that it's hard to fathom that it gains a little bit of ground every week, and it you know, didn't really matter that the futures had lost a little ground Friday and didn't fully recuperate that there Monday morning, but it didn't seem to matter. It was still the feeder market and the calf market. You know, everything across the board was fully higher on all weights and classes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one since you gotta quit having conversations with my landlord, all right? And So he called me, he picked the check up, and I guess I didn't know about the conversation until you told me. Anyway, he called me and said, well, they could have done better. And he always tries to do the reverse psychology crap on me. Uh-huh. And I said, well, I know you were probably going to be disappointed in those lightweight bull calves we took in because they wasn't 400 yet, but they wasn't far from it. And I said, but I needed them out of there. If you wanted me to sort these cows, we got to get rid of some stuff. And he said, well, yeah, they did all right. They were 480. And I was like, what? Over $1,700 for a 367-pound bull calf? Come on. So I'm glad you guys got that deal worked out where he doesn't have to cover my show now. And,
he says he's got that all worked out, so you don't have to worry about it. He wasn't going to have to fill in for you. So.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, I mean, everything to me really stood out really well on Friday, from the steers and the heifers all the way to the butcher cows and bulls and even the pears. I mean, it was just good all the way around. What one thing really caught your attention Friday?
Oh gosh, it had to be them 380 weight calves up there, you know, in the high fours, $4 range. I mean, that was just phenomenal, and had several of them to offer, and had four or five bidders on every set that stuck its head through the gate. You know, just a pretty phenomenal day on all the cattle, but those lightweights just amazed me week in and week out.
Yeah, and then I ran into one of the guys that bought part of Bruce's, and I said, what are you thinking? So he said, don't worry about it. I got this. So I said, said, well, you're good. Well, there were some, let's see, I was looking at, on the girl part, I was looking at something. Oh, those ones from Mangum that weighed 559, brought 335. That's excellent.
Yeah. And almost got our first set of 400-pound heifers at the $4 mark Friday. I think we was at 399 on some heifers weighing just over four. So
yeah, 412, 399.
Yeah, bumping right up there against that. That'd be something we haven't done before. We're right there at some. Unbelievable levels, if everything stays exactly like it is, I mean, those cattle will make some money. I mean, you get them turned out on some grass, don't have any bad health wrecks with them or anything, you get to sell them back for what the feeder cattle, the cash of what they're bringing right now, and those cattle are going to make a little bit of money, for sure. But, you're putting a lot of dollars ahead in them in that first initial buy, and it makes everybody a little bit nervous, but it's just kind of here for a little while at least. We've kind of got a new catalog out with these numbers being like they are. There's just not as many numbers to go around, and supply and demand. The rules say that the cattle have to be higher if the supply is less, and we're seeing that. come to fruition. And you know, and you know, another thing that is kind of I've started noticing that's kind of an interesting phenomenon that, you know, that very, very rarely does this ever happen, but you're starting to see a lot of these big ranches that you know, people have had putting stockers or yearlings or cows or whatnot, you know, on through the grazing season for years and years, and you're starting to see some of that grass is coming available because the guys either don't have the money to stock it, don't have the money to stock it all, or just really don't want to take the chance at these levels, and you're starting to see some of that grass come available that. Gosh, the same people have had it grazing it through the summer, you know, through the spring and summer months for years and years and years. And so that's a little interesting thing that's kind of started showing up a little
really?
Bit. Some of this summer, spring and summer grazing showing up available. But it's understandable. There's just flat dab not as many cattle to stock it. And it's a lot higher rates than what they are. So, you know, you can use up your line of credit pretty dadgum fast at these levels. So, if you can't get your banker talked into increasing it, or if you don't want to increase it, you don't really have the guts to play it this high. You can kind of understand why some of that is showing up and stuff that hasn't been available in, you know, 20, 30 years is showing up, possibly looking for some new grazers, some new renters. So
it's probably some of these guys that are in their late 60s and in their 70s and maybe even early 80s. Boy, I've seen this before. I'm not going there. So.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing about it. Nobody has seen this before.
Yes.
I mean, there's nobody alive on the face of this earth that has seen this exact scenario where these numbers are this tight. We're the tightest on numbers since we've been back in the 60s, and you know, and understandable. The carcass weights are a lot bigger than they were in the 60s, and there's certain factors that play into that. But you know, our population is a lot bigger than it was in the 60s, and the fact that they just keep purchasing this beef even at these high levels is just unbelievable. And you know, at some point in time, maybe that changes. But for right now, the demand is staying steady, and people are still wanting to purchase the beef despite the high prices. And you know, there's a considerable amount of difference between the beef and the pork in the grocery stores right now. But they're still reaching for the beef, and it's going off the shelves. And as long as it keeps happening like that, you know, this thing looks really good going forward. Until such time as they decide that's enough, I'm not going to pay that much more. But for now, that it's still happening, and man, it's making for a really, really good market from the little bitties all the way up to the fats coming out of the feed yard. You know, they've been getting a little better money out of them too. So and they're anticipating that continuing going into the spring and summer here for the next couple of months. So we'll see what happens, but numbers wise, it looks really good for the market to stay really strong.
Yeah. Well, I have two theories on that. You talk about the difference between the 60s and current right now. Well, I have two theories. You touched on one of them. We got bigger carcass weights by a long ways now because we got bigger cattle now, and we can get them on up there a little bit and process them where they're close to 1,500 pounds instead of 1,200 or 1,300 pounds like normal or used to be. But, you know, this might be crazy, and I might be talking out of my left ear that's good and not my right ear that's deaf, but there's a, I remember growing up in the 60s and 70s and they were even into the 80s, there was that little bit of context out there where people, you know, the medical profession was saying that, red meat is not good for you. And, remember, and eggs were bad for you. Now look at it.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that's got a, people will pay a little bit more to eat a healthy meal.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. Well, and that, you know, like we've talked before, you know, I mean, you know, that we've got a product that people want, too. So, you know, it's always,
always better to have something that they want as opposed to something they need, you know, so that, yeah, that the doctors aren't telling them not to buy it. And so then we got, but then we also got it going for us that, you know, we have a really, really good product that people want to get and want to buy and in most cases prefer. So that's a, you know, that's a great thing for us on our end.
Right. And, yeah, so it's a good deal. I mean, it's just, I hope it doesn't get out of hand, the prices. Mm-hmm. I really don't. Have you talked to any bankers? Have you heard any feedback from any of the financial institutions on what's going on with cattle right now? And are they saying anything one way or the other?
You know, I've only talked to one or two guys that have been you know, have been talking to their bankers about actually upping their lines of credit, you know, that they needed to, you know, in order for them to run the same amount of cattle that they've run previously, you know, they've needed an additional amount of money to their line of credit. And it's kind of been a split, you know, that the one guy said that his banker was gung-ho and, you know, you bet that, you know, we got to, the prices are just higher. And the other guy was like, man, there's sure a lot more room for going down than there is going up. Why don't you just not buy as many? So, you know, kind of the same old deal, you know, that, you know, part of them are same old deal with the bankers is what it's always been. You get some that are pretty aggressive and you get some that want to be pretty cautious. And you know, usually it's kind of an even split between them, and that's kind of the same thing we're in right now, it looks like, from the guys that I've talked to.
I got you. All right. Well, let's drive down to – well, first before we hit the exit and head down to towards the east, what do you got coming in Friday already, besides the ones that I'm going to gather tomorrow for you?
Yeah, we're going to have a really nice run of some replacement females coming up this week. We've got one guy is bringing us, he's going to have about 35 5 to 7 year old pairs and about 70 5 to 7 year old bred cows. And those bred cows have got big old calves that we're going to sort off of them and sell them during the calf sale. And then we got another gentleman that's bringing us 10 pretty nice red Angus first calf heifer pairs. And then he's going to also bring about 10 5 and 6 year old red and black Angus pairs. So we've got a really nice replacement female run coming up of both some pairs and some bred cows Friday. So it'll be a good day. These cows, some of these cows will be, part of these cows will be coming off kind of short wheat. So there'll be some that'll be a little bit thin, but going to be having a good calf at their side or already bred back. So, you know, be something really good to buy going into the springtime to stock some of this grass.
Well, boy, if we could get a rain this week, and it'd make a lot more people positive for sure.
Uh-huh. And, yes, sir.
Well, let's head down I-40. Anything stick out yesterday? You had 1,181 head. Did I read that right? 1,182 head. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yep. You know, them 1,000 1/4 weights at 259, I thought was a really, really good sale. But we did have a little bit of replacement heifer buyer action in the deal yesterday, and so, you know, had some of the fancier end of the light 7-weight heifers bumping up there into the mid 270s. Thought that was really good. But probably the most phenomenal thing that I saw, stick-out thing that I saw to me, you know, some 640-pound cattle with some condition coming off some of the short wheat, going back out to some grass, you know, up there in the 330 range. I thought that was pretty phenomenal, probably the most phenomenal thing that I saw.
I got you. Oh, I forgot to tell you about my phone call I got Friday.
Mm-hmm.
From Reed, Oklahoma. You know who I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
He wanted to make sure that I knew that the Grand Steer at OYE had Charlie in it.
Yeah, there was something mentioned to me about that Friday that I needed to be sure and ask you that today, if you knew what color that Grand Steer at OYE was.
And I heard the Cotton King. I think it was you told me he was at the sale Friday.
He did. He sold some really nice pairs there Friday. The only reason I figured out he's selling him is he needed to buy some cotton seed to get ready to put his cotton crop in. But yeah, he sold some really nice pears, and he had them big and pretty and in good shape, and they did really well.
You know, this is his first year in the cow-calf business.
Really?
Yeah, he's a stalker guy. He's a feedlot guy. He'll tell you. Because I know he had all kinds of people around Sentinel coming helping him try to pull calves and stuff. So that shows me where his knowledge is.
Uh-huh.
So he'll admit it. And this is the first time he's raised cattle without a horse. But looking at the some things contribute to that. I better just shut up there, Casey. Casey's listening. And Cousin Kay, I got to see Cousin Kay Friday when I was in there.
She
had the smothered steak for a special that day. Mm-hmm. And I asked her if that beef was locally raised. And I won't tell you what she said. And then she has a secret admirer on my show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
This guy, he got a question right last week on one of my questions, and last Wednesday, and he won a 6-pack of Taylor Ranch beef sticks. And he texted me after the show, and he said, "I want you to give them to Cousin Kay at the cafe."
That's nice.
Yeah. So, and I told her, I said, "This is from a secret admirer." She's worried now. Okay, do you got anything coming in at Western Oklahoma coming up that you know of?
Not that I know of so far this week. I'm sure we'll have a nice run coming up this week. There's a family over at Canute that was going to bring some this week, decided to wait until maybe it wouldn't be quite so windy the next week, and so I think they're going to bring us some really nice about 140, 150 really nice 5 and 6 weight cattle.
Oh, cool.
This coming next week. But they haven't for sure confirmed that yet, but they said if they don't have to fight the wind, they're headed your direction. So it's pretty sure probably got that one coming if we don't have another bad wind day, or if we don't get a bunch of mud, which that'd be all right. If we get a bunch of mud, I think everybody.
Oh, yeah. Let it rain, baby.
Yeah.
Well, my plans is to get some in tomorrow afternoon and get the landlord out there and let him pick which one of the cows we're bringing in. And I got some calves to bring in. So we should be in, hopefully get that all moved away. And so I can move some cattle from another place back to where these are going. So we got a lot to do here.
About to get into a really busy time of year for a lot of people, especially if we just get a little bit of moisture.
Yeah, that moisture goes so far right now, but these weather people, they've been backing off a little. They brought the percentages up over the weekend. Now I guess they're back to work and getting into the real details, and they're bringing the percentages down. So we'll see what happens. Keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, Brandon, I appreciate you coming on today, and have a great day, and I'll probably see you Friday.
Sounds good. Hopefully talk to you next week.
All right. See ya. All right. Let's take a Stockman's Vet Clinic break, and we'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boombats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Windy Nissan of Elk City is having a huge brand new car blowout sale. With over 70 new vehicles in stock and with massive price reductions of up to $10,000 off MSRP and payments as low as $349 a month with up to 90 days out to your first payment, there's truly never been a better time to buy than now. We work with over 30 different banks and credit unions to bring you the best financing options available and work with all different credit types. So come see us at Windy Nissan of Elk City, your hometown dealer.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
The McIntyre Redding as Partners in Progress Bull and Female Sale is Monday, March 31st at Sweetwater, featuring 20 registered age, Vantage, and 50 yearling bulls. Also 20 registered open heifers, 50 commercial Red Angus first calf heifer pairs, and 60 commercial Red Angus open heifers. View the sale online at cci.live. For sale information, go to McIntyreRedAngus.com. A lot of great cattle are for sale near Sweetwater the last Monday in March. The McIntyre Red Angus Partners in Progress Bull and Female Sale is Monday, March 31st at 1 p.m. at Sweetwater.
March is Ram Truck Month, and there's never been a better time to get behind the wheel of a legendary Ram truck at Lipscomb Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Elk City. Built for power, designed for comfort, and ready for anything. With unbeatable deals on the full lineup, there's a truck for every job and every adventure. Save more in the country this Ram Truck Month with exclusive offers and financing options at Lipscomb Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Elk City. Good people, great deals since 1979, and at LipscombCDJR.com. But hurry, our Ram Truck Month deals end soon.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Blair, Oklahoma, 72 degrees, dew points 46, the humidity's 39. This is your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag weather update for southwestern Oklahoma. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 57 degrees, sunset at 7:52, 86 today. With light winds out of the northeast, 9 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight, a 30% chance of rain showers, 53 for low. Tomorrow, a slight chance, 20% chance of thunderstorms, and 82 degrees in Blair, America. Okay, let's see if this come across my email. I was trying, and it is not coming up yet. Okay, so I'm going to read this off here. Meg Gresky wanted me to share this with you guys, especially down there in Harmon County. The Harmon County Conservation District, maximizing profit per acre. Glenn Calvert and Meg Gresky of the Oklahoma Conservation Commission will teach you how to use all your crop and or grazing land to its potential. Don't leave money on the table. One CEU will be available from OSU, Dr. Liberty Galvin and Dr. Daniel Adamson will be there, and this is coming up April the 2nd from 10 to 12 p.m. at 202 East Broadway in Hollis, Oklahoma. Free to attend. Lunch will be provided. Please RSVP to the Harmon County Conservation District at 580-688-3674. Please RSVP. I about left the P off, to Harmon County Conservation District, 580-688-3674, April the 2nd from 10 to 12 p.m., 1 CEU, it says actually 1 hour CEU session pending from Dr. Liberty Galvin and Dr. Daniel Adamson on maximizing that profit per acre for your grazing, one way or another there. So also Let's see. What do we got coming up here? Let's see. What do we got? Oh, I just got a couple minutes left. My bad. Hang on here a second. I was going to give you some cotton numbers from last week. As soon as I find them, there they are. Let's see here. Let me roll down there. Has anybody got their ECAP contract in the mail yet? I ain't got mine in there yet. Okay, export sales for week ending March 13th for cotton. Net exports sales for the week ending March 13th were 131,400 bales. This brings total 2425 sales to approximately 10.9. Total sales at the same point last year was 11.3. So we're way behind, a little over a million bales behind. Not quite a million. And the new crop for 25-26 sales are at 997,600 bales. How about that? You guys have a great day. Hope you enjoyed the show today. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Zara America. God bless.